call 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. Let's listen in to Marcus Wiley.
Professor at Texas Southern University. It's in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they let me teach. I ain't passed no essay. No. Anyway, that's beside the point. They let me be a little professor there, y'all. And what's so crazy about this whole thing is it's beguiling to me that students come to me at the end of the semester and say stuff like, Professor Wiley, am I passing? I'd be like, dog, why don't you average up all the grades I've given back to you and you let me know if you pass? And so I got to looking at this thing. What if God is grading us the way the educational system grade kids? That's why I think we should pray to God for some Christian progress reports. I mean, because I want to know how I'm doing. I mean, I think I'm going. But some of my students thought they were passing.
That's good.
I mean, I need an update. I need an update. I need an update. I need to know. I need to know. And so, y'all, because watch this. I would hate to barely make it to hell. I mean, if I go to hell, I want to go to hell on a full scholarship. I mean, I would hate for him to say, I made a 68, and he ain't graded on the curve. Could you imagine how it would be? Judgment day, you get to the gates, and he like, what's your name? I know it, but what is it? Oh. Like Marcus Wiley, Marcus Wiley, Marcus Wiley. Got his grade book, he Marcus Wiley, Marcus Wiley. Marcus Wiley. Yeah, what you want to do is go to the elevators and press H. You like, come on, man. I mean, what's the deal, dog? I mean, what's up? I mean, what you? I mean, not dog, but God. I mean, what's going on? What's my average? He like, man, you got a 68. A 68? They say you merciful.
Right.
I mean, come on, dog, can you do, I mean, God, can't you do something? What, tell me, I must have been passing, so why, how did I get this 68.9? Oh, here it is. Remember that day you was at Popeye's and you asked for 3 wings and they gave you 3 legs and you cussed that lady out? That's what happened, dog.
We're going to switch to Shonda Pierce.
You know, the interesting part about my life this year has probably been the loss of my mother. I don't know if anybody's been through that, but I have a feeling a lot of us have. We are that age that we are losing our mothers, and it's always a difficult time when you start kind of being the parent to your parents. And I've run into a lot of girlfriends out there, and we have that chat, don't we? And I'm telling you, there's never been a time in my life when girlfriends were more important, because we have this hidden code between one another. Sometimes we say things between one another that no one else in the world would understand. One of the dearest girlfriends in my whole life is my sister-in-law, Doris, and she is the funniest one. She doesn't try to be funny. So we try not to laugh in her face, because we're here and still good. But she's funny, and every now and then, when she gets really aggravated or mad, you know, she'll cuss a blue streak. This is her cussing. Good gravy, Granny. I've never heard that expression until I met her. Good gravy, Granny. Now we say it all the time. In Jesus' name. Sometimes she'll get real hungry, and she goes, oh, I have such a headache, I need a hamburger. And we know exactly what she said. I have another girlfriend who's not quite as spiritually inclined as Doris. And she'll get mad at somebody the other day. She said, oh, if he was on fire across the street, I wouldn't walk over there and spit on him. You better listen to yourself. That sounds awful. I would not spit on him if he's on fire. That's terrible. But there's probably some people I might not spit on. No, that's not true. I mean, there's just some stuff we say that only girlfriends know about. And I think that's kind of been the reality of me losing my mom, is that my mom was my go-to girl. I could tell my mother anything. Now, there's some things about my mother that would kind of get on my last nerve. And I feel more healing coming on to be able to say that. You know, it's true. There are some things that my mother did that I just decided I wouldn't pass on to my children. One, my mother called me every day, at least 10, 12 times a day. Anybody's mother do that to you? Oh, my Lord, have mercy. And don't you? I believe when the Lord created caller ID, I know it was of God because it was for me. It was there to mend the relationship I had with my mother. And to help me from feeling so guilty, you know, because, and then it would save you a lot of headache, because you remember the time before caller ID, the phone would ring and ring, and you go, I know it's probably my mother again, oh my stars, you know, and you would just pray, and you think, oh, well, it could be the school teacher. What if one of the kids are at school, or, oh, I better answer it, and then you answer, and it's her, and you go, oh, yes, mother. Well, caller ID kind of helps that, you know, whole trauma, and you could just answer the phone, and you feel a little bit better about yourself, And you could avoid answering it when it's her, and because she would call all the time. 6 a.m., my mother would call every day, rain, snow, or shine. She'd call at 6 a.m., and with that burning question that she had to call you and ask, did I wake you up? Yes, ma'am, same time you woke me up yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you'd be making breakfast for the kids. Well, they haven't lived in this house for 6 years. She would still call. My mother called me so often, I have a loaded down voicemail box of all the calls from my mother. And just so you'll know I'm not lying, I've got to play one. Wow. That's going to be hard for some of us to hear her voice again, but it's hysterical because it's just like her.
Oh, honey, I didn't want anything important at all. I just wanted to tell you that I love you today. And I hope you have a beautiful, wonderful day. And that you, I want you to know your mama loves you all day and praying for you all day, and this is your good day. I'll talk to you later. I sure do love you. Bye, honey.
That was May the 12th, 2012. At 6:04 a.m. The next one was May the 12th, 2012 at 7:42 a.m. asking, did I call you today? My mother would call me and ask me if I could remember why she was calling me. No, ma'am, I don't remember. Well, if you think of it, honey, will you call me back? She called me all the time. She was just so funny. My mother, there were some of the most courageous things that I have ever known about womanhood, some of the most courageous things and inspirational things that's ever happened in my life, my mother was a part of. My mother went to nursing school after her kids were all teenagers. She decided to go back to school. And she was not a good student to begin with. All through high school, she had very terrible, terrible childhood asthma. And she had to struggle through school. And so when she decided to go to college, there was a lot of catching up to do. And then it was nursing school on top of that. So it was a lot of practicing on her kids. She wasn't that good. I got the bruise marks to show all her needle work. I said, Mom, can't you just embroidery like other kids' mothers do? No, let me just try one more time. I just think that's funny. And it's true. It's true. My mother was incredible.
We got one more.
You know what? Before reality shows, crazy folks in your family used to hide. Remember? Since reality show, you need to put me on. You need to put me on. Because the craziest one get a spinoff show. See, if I had gone to NBC, I have this idea of a crazy kid named Honey Boo Boo. Honey Boo Boo Child. That ain't real. I think it is. I think there's some kids somewhere that's a fat model that like to play in the mud. Her name is Honey Boo Boo Child. And her uncle loses a leg to diabetes and they bring him candy in the hospital. Did y'all see the episode? He lost his leg to diabetes and he gonna want some candy now. That's how he lost his leg the first time. See, we're at that age now too. Diabetes, high blood pressure, that stuff is real. See, diabetes didn't just hit you. It didn't hit you at 50. Diabetes been building up since candy, snicker, candy, licorice, atomic, candy. Kool-Aid with this much sugar at the bottom.
Oh, wow.
It's like quicksand. So by the time you get to the doctor, you're like 45 years old. Mm-hmm. What? I'm diabetic. But I walk. I walk every day to the candy store. How many of y'all go to get your blood pressure checked and you fear it, so you try to walk real slow and breathe real slow? Wait. You know you got high blood pressure because they keep pumping. That's the active arm. Do the other arm. And you have them crazy numbers. You 300 over 280. Oh, it went down some since last week. I cut out bacon. And see, there are people, anybody here like vegetarian against killing animals? I mean, like, yeah, because I know this is Michigan, you don't probably have but one or two. See, California. The poor animal, you can't kill the animal. We need vegetables. God made it so if you can't run fast, you get killed.
Oh.
It's in the Bible, 2 Corinthians, thou shalt run as fast as you can.
Stop.
And when caught, you shall be eaten. Anybody here vegetarian? My daughter's a vegetarian. You vegetarian? Why are you vegetarian? You don't even know why, do you? It sounded cool. I don't eat meat anymore. And I'm so hungry right now. You're hungry right now. You're hungry right now. Your blood sugar's so low. Look at all these meat eaters. Stay there, you. How long is he gonna talk? I thought this was a half hour show. How long is this show? I need a carrot. So why did you become vegetarian? When you became a vegetarian? Yeah, because it ain't natural. It's not natural. Look, okay, I'm gonna help you out. Look at life, look at the jungle. Who's the one running after everybody? Lions, tigers, eat meat. Look at little vegetarians. Trying to get to a hole. Go. We lost Jimmy. Watch Animal Planet. You'll start eating sandwiches.
Okay. That's Sinbad. Let me get myself together. That's Sinbad from his Make Me Wanna Holla. I got that one off of my music app, but also off of YouTube. And the other one was Shonda Pierce, and that's from her Girls Talk CD. And the other one, Marcus Wiley, that's a clip also from YouTube. Marcus Wiley, this is Standing in the Gap. Thank you so much for listening in to the hallelujah time with me. I'm still stuck on him saying he's shocked that he had diabetes and he walk every day to the candy store. That's sad. Anyway, you can give us a call here, and the number is 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. You know, one way to overcome the storms that we're talking about, Jesus overcomes the storms that try to come over us, those things in life that happens. And we're still coming out of Mark chapter 4, as well as Matthew chapter 8. They are synoptic gospels. You know, we told you that before. If you haven't heard it before, syn, S-Y-N, meaning synchronized, or one, and optic, meaning view or witness. So it's from one view. That's why they are so similar, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four synoptic gospels. And so from Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 4, we see the peace be still story that actually happened. And so we can do our part by doing what we just did, spending some time and ending your night or right before you go to sleep in listening to something that is funny, not just, you know, gross funny or disgusting funny or funny at someone else's expense. We all have our own taste, but also we can line up even our funny with what will please Christ, because Christ is always present, always looking, not as a police officer or bad police officer. Most are good. Almost all are good, except, you know, ones we've had problems with. But God is not that type trying to catch us do something wrong. God wants us to be protected and to be well. And so I say all that because we can continue to go to sleep sometimes and not be restful, but we can get restful sometimes when the last thing that we take in to our minds, to our bodies, to our spirits is something that is pleasing, something that is funny, some either good show that's funny and lighthearted. I told you, when things get kind of, I usually don't get stressed, but when things get a little challenging for me, I tell somebody I'm going to Mayberry. So I turn on some old Andy Griffith reruns and go and watch Opie and Aunt Bee and Andy and Barney and all of them, the gang there, just to lighten up. Usually after I've watched a full episode of the newscast, the local news and the world news, because it gets discouraging sometimes. But we have a God who is a God of joy, a God of peace, and a God that can also give us our happy. And for that, I am grateful. But we got to do our part. That's our next song by Kirk Franklin, Wanna Be Happy. You want to be happy, right? I am happy. More importantly, I am filled with joy. Why? Because I get to serve you. I am here standing in the gap for you and with you. And the number is 904-296-2251. Would love to hear your voice. This night's broadcast, this weekend's broadcast, is dedicated to my brother in Christ, who I pray is truly, truly living his eternal life. He has graduated to the heavens to be with Jesus, and that is Brother Ellis B. Rowe. So it is dedicated to his memory and the love we have for such a champion and a family of champions, the Rowe family. That's Tony Rowe, that's Nicholas Rowe, that is Marcus Rowe, and that is Ryan Rowe, and all of the other children, all of the grandchildren, all of the siblings, and all of the uncles and aunts who love him also so much. So stay with us right here, Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica on Praise 107.9.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand. If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works if
you want to be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy?
Yeah.
I just wanna be happy.
But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start, so I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way.
You've been there too long.
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
I feel this one right here. Good news for you.
Jesus knows just how you feel. Just let him take the wheel.
Hallelujah.
The love and me he already gave.
But the question is,
do you want to be happy?
If you're tired of you, then say,
I just want to be happy.
Now, if you really mean that, open up your heart and say,
let me hear you say yeah, yeah.
If you're tired of going in circles,
let me hear you say yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Tired of making the same mistakes,
let me hear you say yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, now's your chance.
Let me hear you say yeah,
say yeah,
yeah, yeah. If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way.
Are you ready? Come on!
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel.
What are you doing?
He knows the road that you need to take.
It's so easy to complain.
It's so easy to complain.
Come on!
Addicted to the pain.
Yeah.
You give your heart, they push it away.
But somebody that'll never leave you.
Jesus knows just how you feel.
Yes, sir. The question is,
do you want to be happy?
Took a long time, but I'm ready.
I just want to be happy.
Thank you, Lord. Every day, ask yourself,
do you want to be happy?
Yes. Pull over. Let him drive.
I just want to be happy.
Amen. Kirk Franklin. Do you want to be happy? Do you? Do you? Because, you know, you have joy when you accept Christ. And so we open the doors of the kingdom of God right now. Actually, we're just telling you that Christ opened them for you a while ago. He did that by stretching his arms out wide and dying on the cross for us. And so you can have a great relationship with Christ simply by accepting Christ as your own Lord and Savior. Savior meaning the one who has saved you from sin, from the wages of sin being death, being eternally separated from him, from God, and also, excuse me, as well as the power of sin, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit that is activated within you, within your being, when you accept Christ, as well as eventually the presence of sin as well, when we are totally relieved of this earthly body, this vessel that we are stewards of just for a temporary time. And so one day we will not have to be even tempted at all. We will not be in the sinful condition of this body and just completely in spirit. And so you do that just by praying to God, however you need to word it, letting Jesus know, Lord, I do accept you as my Savior. I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And I ask you to be Lord in my life, to show me where my steps are. And give me the strength that I need to take those steps in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. Excuse me. The hardest part has been done by Christ already, who sacrificed himself for you. Now, if you don't have a church home and you want to find out some and you don't know of any, then please give me a call up here. I'll be glad to share with you. That's no matter where you are. We have people listening throughout the United States as well as throughout the world. Thank you, Lord, for that. And so you can call here 904-296-2255. 251. You can also, remember this is on the website, you can also call the later number 904-624-9868. And that way, if you want some information, we have a list of different places we have gone and more than twice to see if the word of God is clearly preached, taught, and as much as you know, you can tell it's trying to be lived, because God really does show us, and we want to make sure we don't blindly transfer you somewhere to tell you about a church that's in your area, but that we've never gone or experienced, and we can't really tell you. And unfortunately, all places are not about the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Some places are not, but still, again, more places are true and sincere about the gospel of Christ and are unashamed about that. So 904-296-2251. As we listen to that song, Want to Be Happy, we're getting ready to close out with this word tonight, peace in the midst of life storms. And how do we get that peace? Because of Jesus Christ. When storms try to come over us, know that Jesus will overcome the storm, but we have to keep our hand in his, and which ultimately means to keep our faith locked into God's faithfulness. Jesus will not let us down. Some storms that we go through, all storms, don't happen the way we expect, don't live the way we expect, and sometimes don't end the way we expect either. But know that if we just look to Jesus for the lesson of it, that he can show us what it is, and we will not be overwhelmed by it. Jesus does a few things in storms for us. First of all, he will keep us while we are in the storm. What does that mean? He will be more than an umbrella. He will be more than a parka or a raincoat. Jesus will hold you in the midst of the storm. And how? Because I need to put feet on this thing. How to practically do that? We have to make sure we continue to get into the Word of God. How do you get into the Word of God? Absolutely go to a place of worship that preaches and teaches that thing well, on worship, whatever those days are, on Bible study or Sunday school or other education if it's not on Sunday. Then definitely do that. But don't wait for Pastor Monica. Don't wait for Bishop so-and-so. Don't wait for Pastor her or him to bring that to you. Go to the Word yourself. And if you're going through a particular situation, let's say you have some anxiety about people are getting, what do you call them, pink slips at work, and so you think you might be next, right? Or you're going somewhere and you feel that you're in a serious relationship, you're engaged and everything, but now he or she seem like they're getting more than cold feet, like they're going to be runaway bride or groom. And so you are starting to feel, however you feel about that, anxiety or depression or sad or angry, whatever it is, simply go into the Word of God. And as you go to it more and more, you'll know where to look. You'll know certain psalms speak exactly to what you're going through when you feel anxious. And in the Word of God, in the New Testament, throughout, but you'll know some of those. If not, go just simply to one of your technological tools that you have, whether it's your phone, whether it's the computer, your pad, your tablet, whatever it is, and do a search for scriptures for a certain situation that you're going through, and it can bring up a lot of different scriptures. Again, remember, be like the Bereans in the Bible. Make sure that you pray about the scriptures so that God can reveal it to you, because none of us, with all the degrees that God has us to get, that none of us can really see the Word of God unless God reveals it. So get to the Word of God, read the Word of God so that the Word of God can read you, and line up some of those scriptures, attach them to your heart, remember them aloud. Yes, you can. I already heard that. Your memory's not that bad. Remember, you're going to ask Jesus to help you. That's right. Don't even try that lame excuse. I've tried it too, so it takes one to know one. Not true. And so God can give you what you need to attach that, engrave it into your heart. So when you are in those storms, actual storms, at the post office, those storms over there at the drive-through window working, those storms over there in the janitorial services, those storms up there in that CEO office or the operations manager's office, those storms over there when you're at the car wash, those storms are the ones who are bringing their cars to be washed and the ones who are washing the cars. God can keep you within those storms. And when people, even people of God, make you want to run from the storm or project the storm to them, then simply remember to recall and recite those scriptures. Some people say from other types of medications and yogas and all of that, the wusa or the Muslim type chants, do a mantra. Just make sure if you are of Christ, then just make sure that your mantra, your words have to do with Christ. Just Jesus. A lot of times I just say, Lord, have mercy. That is a complete prayer in itself. So as we continue to talk about this word, it is prayer time. So please pray with me. God, we thank you for each and every person that has entrusted to us to be an extension of you and to pray along with them unto you for the things that they are seeking within their hearts. We pray on behalf of Nicole and Jason. We ask that you help them within their relationships and the preparations for marriage. Help them to get the premarital counseling that they need, that experience, to get as many tools as they can before they sign on to this covenant with you. We ask, dear God, that for the Kalins family, that you continue to bless them as they are grieving the loss of a beautiful child of yours, a son. We ask, dear God, that you continue to help Sister Q as well, and that you help her concerning her husband and their family, as well as for their extended family. We pray on behalf of Joyce, and we simply ask what she told us to, that we just all thank you for her, just for how good you are, how amazing you have been in her life, and she knows that you will continue to be, has no complaints at all, and even the little hiccups that have happened here and there, she's giving you all the praise and worship for being a God who sees about her. We thank you for James' praise report as well as for his prayer request, and that he wants a better position, better finances, and that he knows that his hope is placed in the right place with you. We ask that you bless his life and his wife, Brittany, and that you continue, dear God, to be the center of their joy as you help them both to grow closer to you. They grow closer to each other in this beautiful triangle circular relationship. We ask, dear God, that you bless Miss Sinclair and Miss Lisa, that you help each one of them to continue within their strength across the board in everything, getting healthier, getting wealthier, being able to use money and resources that you provide to be a blessing to other people. We thank you, God, that whereas you give to them, we know you continue to do so because you give through them as well, and we thank you for their testimony. We ask, dear God, that you bless Sister Jean also with her vision. We ask that you continue to help her with every part of her health situations, and that you bless the Tucker family as well to be strong, protected, and their specific request to be happy, as we just heard in this song. Help them to make the choices that not only give them greater joy that already is within, but based on better choices in their happenings to be happier because of you. We pray on behalf of their grandparents as well, who are champions and overcomers, and we ask that you help them and speak peace to the storms of health through diabetes as well as kidney problems that are trying to come over them as well. Lord, help the Gentry family to become closer despite the physical distance, and help Miss Nana as well as Miss Francis with their health problems. And we thank you right now on behalf of this family for Miss Frances and her 92 years thus far. We thank you for her testimony. Lord, we also pray on behalf of the Rowe family and Tony and her children and each and every one of them. We thank you for blessing what we believe the soul of Brother Ellis, and we ask that you continue to allow this family to grow closer. We thank you that as awesome as they are, even better and best things came out of this celebration of life. We thank you that suffering is over for him. We thank you that medications and treatments and nausea and sickness and pain and all of that is over. And Lord, you know all the people that we are celebrating lives of that no longer live here on earth with us will continue to live in our hearts and in our spirits as we continue to remember the love, because love lives everlastingly, and for that we are grateful. So for those who are mourning the loss of a parent, a mother, or father, we ask God that you continue to stand even stronger as our primary parent, to let them know you will and continue to be the patriarch and matriarch of their lives, of our lives. For those siblings, dear Lord, who have been lost, and that friendship that is gone as far as physically, we ask you, God, that you help us to stay focused on you, and that you help us to heal and to give you room to work within our grieving. For those of us who have had to sadly bury a child, which is definitely too soon, no matter how old we are. We never, parents, guardians, we never want to bury our children. We ask to God that you continue to give us the strength to use it for good and to allow it to help us to become better and not bitter. Help us to be honest when we are angry, even with what we think is you, God, when we don't understand your ways. Help each and every minister and preacher and singer and choir member and worship leader and praise team, each and every usher, transportation ministry person, each and every administrative church person, each and every person that has anything to do with being a part of the bereavement process, being a part of the worship experience for your people, to get in sync with you. Help us to, God, not to project what we think is godly when sometimes it has nothing to do with God. But help us, dear God, to be open, not to get so good at doing church and ministry and our individual and collective roles that we try to do it without you. Help us to take seriously the opportunity to extend an invitation of salvation to your people who come out and we don't know exactly what they've been through, but we know that they have made effort to come to a place where they should be welcomed and feel safe and be blessed and ministered to. Help us, dear God, to do those things and everything that you say. Help us, God, not to be so insensitive or so elitist status that we want to prop things and save seats and make people feel not welcome. Help us, dear God, to be ready to move from what we feel is our favorite seat if it is to bless someone else. Help us not to be stuck on sitting in a particular place and not allowing someone else to. Help us to be focused on the fact that if we don't even simply move our seat in a church, someone could possibly not get their seat in your kingdom. Help us, dear God, to know that we have to learn the words, that we have to read the word, that we can't shoot off the cuff, but that we have to give you our best. Help us to pray as if it's truly all up to us. Up to you, and to prepare as if it's all up to us, so that with our prayers to you and our preparations together, we can definitely bring about the awesome product of praise, worship, and your increase in your kingdom. We just want to be your servants, Lord, and where we fall short, or where we get selfish, or where we get lost in the sauce of humanity, please help us to become humble before you have to humble us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Stay with us right here on Standing in the Gap. We're going to close out this word on peace in the midst of the storm. If you have someone that you are also celebrating their life and they have left this side of heaven, please give me a call, 904-296-2251. I can pray with you, pray for you on air or off air, but we are definitely open to let you know that you are not in this thing alone, okay? If you have someone that has some great celebrations, some graduations, someone that's overcoming operations or approaching it, or whatever situations they are going to or through, we are right here for you, Standing in the Gap on Praise 107.9.
your life was low, you had nowhere to go. People turned their backs on you, and everybody said that you were through. I took you in, I made you strong again, put you back together out of all the dreams you left along the way. You left me shining. Now you're doing well, from stories I hear tell.
Seasons change. and change.
It's good to know that you and me in the passing of my season's day.
Yeah,
it's
good to know
that
you
and me
in the passing of my
season's
day. Just to know that you're with me.
It's good to know that
through the good times.
Seasons Change by Paul S. Morton Sr., as well as, I don't even have to tell you, that's Miss Aretha Franklin, the one and only. So right now I have some music for you just to hear in the backdrop. Wow. Yep, it is. It actually is raining through your radio. I want to read these verses for you. We're going to do what we call a little scripture soaking. I'm just going to read a few verses and ask God to attach that to your very being, from the deepest, most part, deepest parts within you, all the way out to the outer you. Okay, you are safe with God, for God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble, as Psalm 46:1 says. God is in control also of every storm that we go through. For Psalm 107 says he calmed the raging storm and the waves became quiet. God will rescue you. The righteous call to the Lord and he listens. He rescues us from all our troubles. Whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to God, "You are my defender and protector. You are my God. In you I trust." God's answer to us is, "My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me." And that comes from 2 Corinthians. There are so many places in God's word where God continues to remind us just how incredible he is, just how awesomely he thinks of us, just how much he loves us. And so just like you hear the rain and a little thunder through your radio and through whatever you're listening to right now, know that at some point, God will also speak peace. And it'll be quiet. And during those times, even during the times where God makes it totally silent and peaceful, we find a way to become public enemy number one and start questioning things, or overly critiquing or criticizing ourselves, or we start to engage in conversation with Satan, or we include Satan in our conversations with God. Look, when we pray unto God, we have to know that when we feel it is silent and that God is not doing anything, sometimes it's just kind of like what we heard from the comedian and professor Marcus Wiley, that God is allowing us to take the actual test of being in a storm. And during that time, as any test-taking situation goes, that the person who is giving the test, who's grading the test, does not say much because they're simply watching you and believing in you. That's what some of us are going through right now. But know that God is very present. Don't be afraid of the silence. Don't be afraid of taking the phone off the hook, the landline phone. Don't be afraid of getting to your cell phone and cutting it off. I know that's just a whole nother thing for some people. I think I was asking some of us to stop breathing when I say turn the phone not only on silent or no alerts, but turn the phone off. Because, you know, my grandmother had a good point when she said to turn off everything and unplug everything. Sometimes we need to unplug everything so we can plug into Jesus, because there's so much busyness, even for those who are working within churches and ministries and in help facilities and helping people, serving people all the times. Storms will always try to press us, but Jesus will press us through the storms. The disciples knew how to react in storms. They had them before Jesus came. They were mostly fishermen, but very familiar with the area. So they did not remain calm at that time. And remember, it's not a judgment. It's just a fact that we learn from what they did that was good and what they did that can be improved upon, because we do some of the same things. So when Jesus is in the boat with you, know that storms will come, but Jesus is in the boat of your life. Storms will happen, but they don't have to take away from your happiness. Storms will try to jump off in your life, but they don't have to steal your joy. Realize that storms will chase you, but Jesus will chase your storms away. Jesus is not asleep now. Jesus has no need for sleep now, being just divine and not in human form. And there are a lot of things that we go through that even the, you know, those national broadcast things, emergency response guidelines tells us that we should do, that we should do some of that stuff. But we should do it in a way also, spiritually speaking, about spiritual storms. We can use it as a model to remind us how and why we should focus on Christ too. All right, you ready? Because the emergency response guideline says that when we get storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and tumultuous weather and tsunamis, and we get all of this crazy destructive weather, that first of all, we need water. And I'm telling you the same thing, that when it comes to spiritual tsunamis and storms, Jesus is the ultimate water that we need, for he is the living water. It says that in the emergency response guidelines that we definitely must have some food, some non-perishable things that we can keep in case we lose power, right? And you already know that Jesus is the ultimate food that we need. He truly is the bread of life. And because he is that, we can always feast upon him to get through the spiritual storm times. One must have blankets for cover and pillows for rest. You better know that Jesus is my shelter and my refuge, and in his arm I can rest, you can rest, we can all fit individually and collectively, for truly he covers us. When your pastor is having some really less than human moments and doesn't want to cover you, you don't have to fret. God will still cover you. When your bishops don't want to support the stuff that you're doing and things that you know and are truly convinced that God is calling you to do, know that Jesus has you, because no man or any woman can stop what God has in you. So please know Jesus ultimately covers us in ways that humans can't anyway. We should have sufficient clothing, and you better know that Jesus not only covers us, but he clothes us in his own righteousness. He even clothes you and I in our right minds. We should have a first aid kit for those earthly storms, but for the spiritual storms, we know that by Jesus' stripes, we are already healed, and he is definitely all we need. He's better than a Band-Aid, for truly he is a healing aid, for he alone is Jehovah Rapha. We're supposed to have hygiene items and flashlights and radios for communication. And you should know already where I'm headed, because by his blood, Jesus' blood, that we are already cleansed by his sacrifices. And not only is he greater than a flashlight, he is the light of the world, my light and my salvation. And not only is he the greatest communicator ever, he is my prayer hearer. He's my prayer answerer and my sustainer. Yes, we're supposed to have money, and we're supposed to have important documents for ID, silver and gold and credit cards. Have I not? But I have the love of Jesus. And the only important documents I need in spiritual storms is to know that I am a child of Christ, and he or she who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. My ID is not in my hands, but it's in the hands of Christ. My validation is not in the hands of humans, but it is in the hands of Christ. So you can check out my feet. You can check out my hands now, because they all look new because of the one that I serve, the one who saved me. You can check out our walk too, because you and I, we got a new walk, and we hear a new talk when we give our lives to Christ. For truly Christ has given his life to me and to you. So my grandma did have some good ideas about weathering the storm. Turn everything off and just focus on Jesus. Remember how if a storm was raging that your grandparents or some would say, get off the phone, the TV, some still do today. Turn off the home phone, cell phone, TV, air conditioner, computer, everything off. Not a bad idea, because when spiritual storms come, we should get off the landline and get on the main line, because Jesus is on it. And all you have to do is to tell him what you want. Get off the TV and turn over to G-O-D and watch how he's going to bring you out without a doubt. Turn off the microwave and turn to the one who saves, the one who can nuke your joy and give you a renewed sense of peace. For he will speak and is speaking peace to your storms right now. Turn away from your cellular and step into your spiritual presence with Jesus, and go to your secret closet and bless his holy name. Why? Because he is worthy. He is a storm chaser. He'll chase those things away. He is a storm eraser. He will destroy that which tries to destroy you, and he's even a storm embracer. Jesus has a way of holding us in perfect peace until he presses us through the storm to get to the other side, just as he did with the disciples. Look, I hope you stay blessed in what you're doing. Know that Jesus has you, and no matter what tries to throw you, toss you, move you in a direction opposite what God would have for you to do, please know that as long as your anchor is in Christ, then you have no worries, because Jesus truly will keep you. Jesus truly is available to you. Jesus truly is the greatest resource that we can ever have. And Jesus is the one that will keep you grounded when other things around you are going awry. So I thank you so much for listening in tonight. I ask that you continue to encourage others, to take a moment to be encouraged yourself, and to know that I love you, that we are standing in the gap for you and with you. But most importantly, God loves you and is standing in the gap for us all. Amen. Remember, you can give us a call when you hear this broadcast later, 904-624-9868. Let's close out with our benediction song, My Soul is Anchored, by the original Douglas Miller. You be blessed and safe. Good night.
The storms still that hope that lies within is reassured.